Yeah, Lord, Lord, we just thank you. It was just like your presence was so thick in here this evening. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Well, that just wiped out the whole introduction of my speech. So we're going to start again. I just feel like God was getting our attention, that he's done everything, and this is a part of his bride. And, you know, for the bride day, everything he says without spot and blemish. And he cares so deeply and loves every single one that he's willing to do anything to move us along, to get us to be who he plans for us to be. So, can we start with 2 Peter 1 verse 10? Thank you. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you're really, that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance. I'm just going to hover on that. A grand entrance into the kingdom, eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that is an amazing promise. In fact, two in a row. And I don't know anybody, or maybe I can say, is there anybody who would turn back and away from a promise or promises like that? I mean, to be sure that you won't fall away, and a grand entrance. How incredible in those days would that be? Maybe some of you thought about this, maybe you haven't. But you know, God talks to us every day to make us more like his bride. He talks through the Bible as he speaks to us in our daily devotionals. You read words and they just burn in you. Sometimes we get messages and the words just stand out to us. They get our attention and our hearts just, I think the Bible talks about being cut to the heart. And then there's times in community where God just speaks through the leaders or through words shared that just get your attention. Let's not lose those. That's God talking to us. He's got us on this path for a reason, for a purpose. I don't believe he can do it all in spite of us. I think, from what I understand, that there is a willingness of heart and a willingness to step up and go, God, I see what you've got for me. I have a part to play. You've done it all, and you've got the promises. Lord, help me step into that. That I say that God can do it all without our efforts. I looked in the Bible and I see a few men that started out and matched what God called them to, but it wasn't an easy start. If you have a look at Moses, his start was really shaky, right? He had to go and hide out in the bushes, in the wilderness be a shepherd for 40 years. God knew and he called him through the burning bush, and then he became one of his leaders. But sadly, he blew it. Somehow he started doing things his way again, and he never got to get into the promised land. How terrible would that be? David was a great leader when he walked in the ways of God and obeyed him. But when he fell onto doing things his own ways, what a terrible tragedy. Gideon, he was hiding in a wine press. God had to call him out of there. In fact, he took some convincing involving a bunch of fleece and water and all sorts of things before he stepped up and stepped into God's calling. Even Simon and Peter, when we read about them in the New Testament, how incredibly they represented, served, and loved the church for God. But they didn't get going until they had to have a fishing lesson from Jesus about his way of doing things. The ways they'd learned were no good to them anymore. And so all of those men I've seen from that is that when they change their heart attitude and they put God's ways first, that's when the shift came. They couldn't lean on what they'd learned and the way they'd lived until then. It was God's ways that ruled over it all. Shall we go back to 2 Peter 1 for a bit and just start and see before those promises what God actually said? This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share in the same precious faith that we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Christ Jesus, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we generally shy away from this whole concept of works. It seems that we get hung up on the works aspect of the salvation by works, and then we don't carry it over into our life after we're saved, when we've started on this journey. And it seems to me very clear that there's stuff to do. And it sounds from that a bit like work. You've got to set out on a deliberate course to take action. It's an amazing thing when we have our first encounter with God, and put our lives in His hands and utter those words, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. I make You that. I'm Yours. At that moment, our hearts are so soft and tender and ready to listen to His every utterance, His every leading, and go and do whatever He asks us to do. And yet, for many of us, as time goes by, we kind of get caught back up in the stuff of life, our jobs, the business, family, the things that get in the way, and we start just slowly for our hearts to get a bit harder. And we forget a bit by bit to stay so close to Him. And His voice is suddenly not so clear to us. And we're not so pliable in His hands when He says, I want you to reach out to that person. I want you to put some money in their hands. I want to help them move. Something like that. Suddenly, things that we've got planned seem more important. Sometimes we just get familiar with living this life, and suddenly the urgency and the crispness of knowing Him, and that, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to today? What do you want me to tell them? And we start, when He speaks, acting a little deaf. And we start thinking that maybe God can do the things of the kingdom through and around our indifference to His position in our life. And the truth is that He's called us to be His hands and feet, to go out, to reach people, to love as He loves, because that's our role. It's possible also that in our mind we start to shift and we start thinking, God, maybe you don't have my best interests at heart. This sounds like this is all me giving up everything. And it's hard. I don't know if I can do that. And we slowly start to fall back because it's too much of a price to pay. But from time to time, we look around. And then there are those wonderful, amazing people we see around us. Somehow, they keep their hearts in step with Him. They spend time with Him every day. Their hearts are tender. And somehow you look at them and they just shine God's presence. These guys have two ways that you can view them. The first one, you look at them and go, wow, those guys are so encouraging. They're amazing. How do they do that? Or the other option, man, those guys are so annoying. How do they get there? How do they do that? I just want to be like that, but I can't. It just depends on where our hearts are at the time as to how we see them. Can we look at Psalm 34, verse 5? And it says, those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. There's no shadow of shame will darken their faces. So what happens as I'm talking? You start to realize that maybe the who we are at the moment does not really reflect whose we are. What do we do? How do we adjust that our walk matches up with our talk? What does it take to be more like Him? Can I leave it just up to Him, believing that He'll make it happen? Because after all, He's the most awesome God. But that doesn't seem to be the business I see our God in. He isn't one who forces things. He's not one that'll make us change. He's not one that will come and make things happen every day in our lives. He's more like a gentleman. And so I kind of think God's not so much like a gentleman as gentlemen are a little like God. He knows everything about us and desires our participation in every little part of His plan for our lives and the lives of the people around us. For us to listen to His promptings and for us to join with Him in the process, submitting to His direction. And then, as He puts His finger in our hearts and just makes us aware of somewhere where we're not quite measuring up to the mark of His bride, we respond. And the next thing we look around and we see, little by little, He's shifting us along. The other ways, when that isn't the case, I believe that He then drops back to His four tools. And the first one is that in our hearts, the second part of that is that He uses the Bible. When we spend our time in His Word, He just makes those words that I spoke of earlier jump out to us. And He does that because He wants us to pay attention. That's not for nothing. He really wants us to catch what He's got for us. If you're serious about following Him, you're going to have to get a hold of your Bible. You really are going to have to read it. A dusty Bible not much good. You'll have to read it, study it. Probably, for the pain for most of us, memorize some of it. Because he's going to have times where he wants you to talk to people and you don't have it with him, but you're going to need his words. The next thing I've seen that he does is he uses his Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, to guide, to lead. You know, sometimes we talk about it like I feel this thing in my heart, like a burning, a pressure sometimes. And it's the Holy Spirit at work. And as soon as you start to recognize it and respond to it, it starts to work change in us. Can we look at 2 Corinthians 3:18? So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. I don't know about you, but I really find that attractive. I fancy myself more like him. I mean, who else is like that? The Holy Spirit provides the power, conviction, direction for our lives to change, to be more like the Son. He's a warning system that we all have inside, that when we start to turn the way we oughtn't to go, the alarm bells start going off. We need to learn to listen to those. But when we start to turn the way that he's going this way, it's like an applauding crowd in a heart saying, yes, look at my boy go, or my girl go. Yeah. God's number one purpose for us is to make us, our lives, more like his sons. So the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. Then I come, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God to make the children of God more like the Son of God. Yeah. Then the one we probably dislike the most. He uses the people around us, especially our leaders. He gives them insight and reveals things to them to share with you. He points them out because the leaders love you, they care for you, and really, they too want the best for your lives. They don't like to see you struggling. They don't like to see you in a hard place, fighting to try and keep your head above water. You know, this God faith walk, it's not a solo sport. I know a few that are like that. We were watching something with these rock speed climbers, these guys that just rocket up the face of a rock doing what looks like gecko antics by themselves, all on their own. But somehow I say, this is not that sport. There are people around you, caring for you, loving you, wanting to help you forward. How do you do that? So one of the practical ways is to look for someone who you admire and take the bold and courageous step of saying, wouldn't you disciple me? And I'm not talking about just speaking the words, but actually listening to what they say, taking it to heart, turning it into action. It's not just a word play here. We're in a kingdom of action. If you want to learn to pray, look for someone who really is on fire and loves to pray, like Lee. Just take a couple of walks with this man. This is awesome. He walks a bit fast, but he prays fast too. And just, I say, Lee, when you go for a walk, I want to come walk with you. When you do one of your prayer walks, he will teach you how to find the presence of God while you're walking and talking to him. If you like to worship and you find that stuff boiling up in your heart, just find someone who loves to worship. Pull in with Sheldon. Come to the Behold evenings on the Monday evenings. Come and find his presence. Find more. And if you're struggling to make headway, you just feel like you're stuck in the mud, find one of the leaders and go and explain it to them and say, will you help me? I just feel stuck. I feel like I need a tug start out of this place that I'm stuck. And I am certain that you don't need to keep struggling along alone like that. They will help. They care for you. They love you. They want the best for you, just like our King. And then, this is my most unfavorite way for God to talk to me. He uses our circumstances. And this, I'm sorry, this is sucky. It's those circumstances like work pressures, heartaches, difficulties, stress of life, money, family issues. If you've made your way through the other three and haven't heard him, he then just seems somehow to turn up the temperature until he gets your attention. It's amazing that discomfort and pain get our attention like nothing else. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. Just in case you missed it, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. And so, if you're struggling with stuff, you find yourself in that position, you need to find what God's trying to say to you. Respond, please. Because I've learned the hard way. So we've been there. I can speak as a gray hair. I've ridden this road. I've walked this road. When God gets your attention, do something about it. Don't just sit there in this puddle of despondency. Find help. Find him. Find friends. Find a way out, because it's here. Some practical things apart from that. When we hear God talking to us, very often in a preach, we have two ways that our heart sits. You could sit there and think, man, this is a really good preach. I really hope Chris is hearing this. Or you can sit there and go, wow, Lord, that's deep. Is it possible there's something in me that you're trying to talk into? Is there anything I need to shift? Yeah. Don't give up reading your Bibles. Reading the words lovingly written to our Father to us, telling us how much he loves and cares for us and how he wants to move us along. Pray. Pray to him every day. Spend some time. And my praying, like Lee, is not about, here's my list, Lord. This is what I need. But actually, even if you do that, is to go, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you see in me? What do you need to make me aware of? What things do you need me to just correct? Where do you need me to go? What do you need me to do? And then listen. You know, the Bible talks about a still, small voice. Anyone can hear a cannon. Okay, it gets your attention. But a whisper, that takes some listening sometimes. The other thing that is like this great big concrete block in our path can be forgiveness. We just hold on to stuff. You know that guy. He said that mean thing to me 3 years ago. And I can't get over that. I'm just stuck here. And that's it. And God goes, come on. You can do it. Just jump over it. Move on. You don't need to stand there like one of those funny toys and keep going, into this thing. And everyone else is going, come on, dude, go round. It's only this big. Yeah, forgive. Get on with it. And as soon as we start to do those things, it's like the river opens up again. And God just goes, well done. Well done, my child. Come, let me talk to you. As I share all of this, it strikes to me that I only became aware of how important it is years and years later. You know, I got saved, I'm going to say a long time ago, but you can tell that. In the 70s, 76, for those who are really interested. And I lost a lot of time. It was only when I was back at college that there was a young man, the son of a single mother, who really loved God. There were seven of us in our college, in the electrical engineering team, and of that, four of them got saved. through that young man, just honestly, clearly, gently standing for the kingdom. But what happened was, I was one of those students that my work was in Harare, 400 k's away, and my college was in Bulawayo. So I was part of a church in Bulawayo, but then 3 months, then I'd be away for a month. 3 months and a month away. And that nomadic lifestyle just didn't let me, in that time, build up a life of accountability, of being involved with people, because I was connected, disconnected, connected. And I look back now and I go, that was such a terrible waste of 3 years. I feel like I went nowhere with God. And then I had to start all over again and pick up the pieces and go, okay, Lord, I'm serious. Let's move forward with this. So perhaps if I've said something that stands out to you and you're going, that's me, what do I do now? It's never too late. There's simple steps. Now you recognize it. Repent. Get down and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've messed up. I want to do better. Come, show me what I need to do and start to take the walk again. Make him king of your life, ultimate height in front of everything else. Wife, family, kids, house, car, motorcycle. All of that stuff. And if there's anything more I missed, that thing too. And just put it down and say, God, I'll make you first again. I want to go back to the way I was when I first met you. I want my heart to be tender, and I want to walk every day listening to you and guided by you. Yielding to you, Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me, please. I want more of that. Maybe it sounds formidable, can be not easy to listen to and go, yeah, it's okay for you to say that from the front, Chris. But if you dare to take the challenge on, it's so worth it. You will never be the same again. And for those who are sitting there going, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what this being saved thing is. I've never heard of it. It's my first time here. And I've heard people talking about it, but actually it means nothing to me. It's an acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to overcome everything that is stacked against us, the sin in our life, the lostness, the gap between God and us that we just can't overcome. Not by ourselves, but only through him. And so, if we get to that point, can I ask everyone, please, just if you could close your eyes for a moment. If that's you, and you're sitting there going, actually, that's me. You're talking right into my life, Chris. All the stuff you've spoken to, I want that kind of thing in my life. How do I get there? The first step is to tell someone that that's you. So I'm going to ask if there's anyone here in that position, if you'll just stick your hand up. And I'm going to just look across and see if there's anyone. Any hands? I'm going to hang for a moment while maybe your heart's beating in your chest and you're going, this is too much. I don't know that I can do that. Okay, I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So I'm just going to pray a prayer. Will you guys all join with me? Father God, I want to be part of your family. I want to be a son of yours. I accept Jesus' death on the cross as a price paid to overcome my sin. And I want you to be Lord of my life. I turn away from the way that I've lived until now. And I want to follow you with everything I have. Amen.